Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's time for the firm of Harris and Meringue.
I was terrified that I was not going to make the show on time.
Patrick Harris.
Hi, friend.
Danny Meringue.
I'm one of those weirdos.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hi, friends. Happy Wednesday.
Is it?
Everybody out there?
Is it?
Oh, I really hope so, because I just said it.
God, you're over here. I'm trapped in this box that you just...
I'm getting close, man.
Rob's going to come in here in a hazmat suit.
Well, the great Johnny Martin dropped off some extra Lysol wipes, so
yes.
He's good to go.
Just the simple... Oh, there it is. There you go.
Do you hear that, Jeff? Does it come through?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it 100% comes through.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody.
There you go.
Hi, everybody.
Sprague has the volume.
Hi, Dr.
on
Nick.
His... Sprague has the volume on his computer 3 out of 5 days.
I don't know.
Simple things in life.
I don't know. But happy Wednesday. We're halfway through the week. Halfway through.
It's a wet Wednesday.
It is a wet Wednesday.
It's not the fun wet Wednesday, but it's a wet Wednesday.
They got me all wet.
Yeah, you got it, buddy.
Is that a special at the ACROC?
Are we the week is half over or we're halfway to the end? We're a little half full, half empty here.
See, I figure once we hit like 11:30, we're halfway.
So you literally take it to the halfway.
Yes.
Okay. Simple things.
It's literally called Wyoming. So we're not in the home stretch for the weekend until 11:30.
Yeah, I guess.
See, should we just sit here quietly and
just ponder.
Roll the clock out?
Yeah, tick, 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 tick. Now, every time I hear that drop of literally, somebody may have made me aware of a certain word.
Literally?
That I say literally.
Literally? Oh, your enunciation sucks.
Apparently it does. I don't catch it, and I've tried to listen back to it a couple times, and I'm like, I don't know if it's there.
Literally?
But she's got me questioning the word, and I don't like it.
I'm literally not pronunciating literally correct.
Yeah.
Is that Little Italy?
Little Italy,
it's like
yeah.
A little, it's a
no,
little
that's
Italy.
Pronounced Little Italy.
Yeah.
Italians.
My wife says literally, especially when she's angry, and it just drives me nuts.
Literally is my go-to word.
Is it?
It is a filler word for me. It is absolutely a filler word for me.
I've noticed probably the most common filler word of people I am around. People at this station, my home, my friends, strangers, is 100%.
Oh.
I hear that everywhere I go.
Interesting.
Literally 100% of where I go, I hear it. Yeah. Like, that's the line. That's the line all the time.
Do I do it? I don't think I do 100%.
You like football? 100%. Oh, you're a big soccer guy? 100%.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah,
you'd rather have brisket than prime rib? 100%.
See, I'm a
everywhere, dude.
I'm a for sure guy.
Oh, I'm a faux show guy.
I'm a for sure. I'm a for sure. There's an FER. It's a for sure. Yeah.
Furder.
Oh, for sure. Like that's
faux show.
Yeah, that's I don't think it works for sure.
She was a hoe faux show.
Yeah, no, that's I had beaten out of me.
I've tried really hard to get beaten out of me.
I will do a specific like where it's a I don't like doing and I don't do it that often because when I was in the Air Force, I had a lieutenant who would literally slap me. See, I said literally. Was that a literally?
Say what again? They speak English in what?
Yeah. Because I was a big guy. Was like most people. That was that pregnant pause that I was like and I got to the point where I would almost like do like the hit dog when I'd say early in my career. I'd go and I'm like, oh, don't do that. And I would just look around like, nobody's hitting me. Okay, good.
My oldest has a tic that she has now passed on to my youngest. And I don't know if it's a girl's thing, but I think it's just a kid thing. She will say something like, she will talk to you about, she'll start telling you a story.
Mm.
And she'll say, the other day I was out with my friends and we went to the store or whatever. And she gets this or whatever thing.
Or whatever.
And it's like her
Yeah.
And now the middle kid, she does it. And it is now reaching a point that I want to strangle him. Because now I can't, now I can't get it out of my head.
Yeah.
And they're very intelligent kids. Mm-hmm. They're very smart, very eloquent. They have great vocabulary.
They're around kids that aren't.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
Yeah, they're 13 and 10-year-old girls. Yeah.
Bro.
Yeah, I'm going to go upstairs and work on my homework and I'm probably clean my room or whatever. But then after that, and it's like, oh.
Why is that in there?
Why? Yeah. Why is that there? But it's also like, you know.
Yeah.
I was like at the mall.
Have you noticed the return of the Valley Girl?
I mean,
I was like, and
Cali
I was like,
Bro is back.
Well, Cali Bro and Valley Girl are both back.
My kids say bro.
A lot of bro, but as
they bro each other.
There's a lot of, I've heard it around and it's like the part of it. It's like, you know, and there's like that.
Oh my God.
That staccato is in there. And I'm just going, oh no. Why is this coming back? We don't want this back.
Gag me with a spoon.
Yeah. It's.
Ooh. Don't threaten me with a good time.
You usually got to pay extra. But yeah, no, it's always funny like what sticks in there. I didn't used to really cuss that much, and then I went in the military. I mean, I did when I was younger, but not that much. I went in the military, and the F word became adjective, noun, verb. I mean, the amount of profanity that I used in the Air Force was staggering.
Well, I grew up in a household that was pretty loose in the tongue, so
mine wasn't strict, but it wasn't like. It wasn't prevalent at all.
My wife, sometimes when I'm leaning towards inappropriate language, because I cuss a lot, she just looks at me and she goes, radio. And that's like the tick. And I'm like, oop. And it's almost literally like a switch.
Yeah.
Where it just goes on. And then all of a sudden I no longer cuss.
Yeah.
No dump buttons here.
No.
I probably dump button more at the house. And I'm like more conscientious about that.
Right.
Because I don't like to swear in front of my kids.
No.
I think their dad swears a lot in front of them, and so I don't like to, which is why everybody in my house loves, what the? And then I'm like waiting. I'm like, if you say that.
Finish it. Finish that.
You finish that, and I will smack them.
You want this?
I don't like you swearing, but I'll beat you.
Yeah. I mean, I got the soap.
I never got the soap.
I got the bar of soap. I dropped the F-bomb when I was like 12 or 13 for the first time in front of my parents, and they both were like,
I was always told.
Oh, really?
I was always told you can't swear till you're 18.
Mm.
And then I could say, like, crap, and I got away with that. And then I could say the S word, which you can't say on the radio, and I got away with that. Then I got away with bitch.
Mm.
And then it got to the point where I was like, well, you just can't say the F word till you're 18 in my house.
Yeah.
And my entire year of 17, I think I was, if used correctly,
it was allowed to fly.
Used correctly in a statement.
It could sprout wings and land. Yeah.
I'm so bleeping mad. Yeah. And if you really were and you had a righteous reason to be mad, I kind of got away with it. But if you were just
You get a little bit of a look, but not.
Yeah, but if I was walking around the house and I was like, man, I got to go to school today. Yeah. It's like, busted.
Yeah, you're like, yikes. But yeah, no, the military took my vocabulary and cut it in half.
Why is it that the military is so
crass,
vulgar?
It's just because life sucks.
Because things blow up around you and such?
The monotony of it. I mean, we wear the same thing every day. We get up at the same time. We do the same things. That was what was dope
about
my job.
Sounds like socialism to me.
Yeah, I mean, it is in a way. But
I love watching you squirm when I say that.
Well, I mean, it is, but it's also voluntary.
Right.
So there's that part of it. But also on top of it, like, the rigidity of it all. That was what was dope about my job, is that I didn't do the same thing every day. Because if I had to do the same thing every day, I would have lost my mind. Mm. Like, the guys, like, I'll give you an example. Like, if you're a maintainer, like, if you work on an aircraft, like, as a mechanic, there are...
Which, of course, we all do.
Like, if you say you work on an F-15, there's no, like, if you're troubleshooting it, you have to have this thing called TOS out in front of you. It's the everything you need to do, and you have to do it by these steps. There's no, like, you don't have Jim in the garage, like, well, I think it's this. No, it's even if you know what it is.
What about Jim in the garage on YouTube?
Yeah.
It's all about ball bearings these days.
Ball bearings. But you can't go through it. You have to go through it this way. And if you go into the shop, there's like, what do you call the, not cork board, but the backer board with the, like, screws and stuff.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Like hanging tools.
Yeah, pegboard?
Yeah, pegboard. Thank you. I could not think of the name of it. There is the pegboard, and all of the tools are stenciled on the pegboard, and they all go in the exact same spot. And you have there's a TikTok that I saw of a maintainer in the Army. It was a tank mechanic. It was an Abrams mechanic. And there's a QR code that you have to have. Military member who's checking these tools out has a QR code or a barcode to check these out so you know where they go. This guy got his barcode tattooed on him.
Ooh.
And he went over and he's like, this is not going to work. And the guy scans it. Bing! And it comes up. He's like, you did not get your QR code tattooed on you. It's like, I lost my card too many times and I just got it tattooed on me.
That's wild, man.
That's the military in a nutshell right there. I'm too stupid to hold on to this card. You're also trusting me to fix this multi-million-dollar piece of equipment. Ta-da! Let me tell you, folks, it's not the best and the brightest.
Yeah.
I am perfect example of that.
Yeah, taking 18-year-olds that don't have a lot going for them and decide that the military is their route and asking them to, like, fix helicopters is a wild, wild situation.
Yeah. The okayest and the okayest.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Is that why everything's expensive? Because it breaks all the time? This stealth bomber costs $6.5 billion.
Always remember when you're
it
talking
about...
It
only costs $20 to make, but it takes $6 billion to maintain.
Yes. Think about it this way. The aircraft and the weapons and all the things that we have in our military, as expensive they are, remember, they were all sold to the lowest bidder.
That is not true. These days, they're sold to the highest bidder.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Dick Cheney.
Right. Golly.
Oh, Kalidokali. Well, we do have a show for you today. We'll spend some good old time on the Oregon Ducks as they take on Iowa this week. You can catch all that action right here on the Fan Sports Network on the road in Iowa. So we'll carve out a good piece of time for them today. We'll have Tyson Algeron at 10:30 as he always joins us on Wednesday. Web Gems at 11:45. We'll talk about Tom's braids and his craziness. And some fun kind of open-ended questions. I think it's time we have a conversation about Ja Morant. Mm-hmm. Closed-door college basketball games as the season gets underway. And maybe the most efficient player in the NBA comes to town tonight. But let's start with the Oregon Ducks, Danny. Let's start with your Oregon Ducks. The college football playoff was announced last night. If the season were to end today, this is what they would do. And we'll have a longer conversation about that in the Big Nooner. But we'll start with Oregon. Were they punished? Is this a reality? Should we not care because we got a lot to go? Where do we sit on the Oregon Ducks in the college football playoff? We'll do that next on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
1017 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it, baby. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. 503-864-6326. That's the fan text line. She lets you interact with us throughout the entire day. Good morning on the YouTubes, youtube.com/1051thefan. Happy to have you. Thanks for coming in. Join the chat. We're always goofing off in there about something. My pet peeve is people who pepper in "you know" several times in a conversation. No, I don't know. That's why I asked you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fair one.
It's up there.
That's a fair one. That's a fair one.
Simple things in life.
It is weird, the little ticks in the English language that drive us nuts.
Yeah, most of them I have tried to avoid, but irregardless.
Oh, God. Oh.
No,
anyways.
Yeah.
Anyways is not a word.
Anyways is?
Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway is plural. You don't need an S. You don't need an S.
Grammar police.
The 12-team college football bracket projection was out last night. I did not watch it because I don't have ESPN.
Weird. Are we, real quick, a little deviation here. Are we standing firm on this?
I'm standing firm.
Okay. And here, to be clear, this is not a pro-YouTube stance. It's a bleep you ESPN. That's what it is for me.
And for the amount of money, it's a Disney thing. For the amount of money I've given Disney.
Disney like, Plus, Hulu,
me
ESPN.
Specifically, yeah. Like, I went to Disneyland a couple years ago, dumping money into it. I've been a Star Wars loser my entire life. Mm-hmm. Like, come on. Just hook a brother up.
Yeah.
It should be case-by-case basis.
Yeah.
If you don't spend money at Disney, you don't get ESPN. I do. I should get ESPN.
I used to watch the fireworks on the roof of my house at Disneyland.
Mm, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. But that was free. You're not giving the mouse money.
Well, I'll also say this. I've been in that park more than probably this entire building combined times 10.
Yeah, probably. I'm actually probably number two. And I'm probably pretty far ahead of people.
It's, you know, the mouse comes through here every year and they take pictures within the building. the big Disney promo that they do here with the other stations. And they're like, you want to take a picture? I'm like, I'm good. Like, I got no mouse hatred, but took a lot of, I got a lot of those Mickey Mouse ears with my name on them in boxes at home.
The college football playoff bracket projection came out last night, and I'd like to have a nice conversation in the Big Nooner about the rest of it, but we'll stick it here with Oregon, and Tyson Aldridge will join us here in about 15 minutes, and we'll talk Ducks heavy this hour and a little bit in the next, so stick with us here. Oregon takes the 9 seed in it in a projection against Texas Tech, and before we get into anything, that game against Texas Tech sounds really fun.
Yeah, the first I'm not thing, gonna lie. First thing I thought was I texted Dusty and I was like, Dusty versus tortillas round two? And he's like, hey, they outlawed it. That you can't throw tortillas. And I'm like,
oh, in a college football playoff game?
Brother, you better bring the riot shield.
Yeah, they throw in. So that's one thing that I love about these when they come out is they give you this kind of like dream scenario. Whether it happens or not, none of this is probably going to be correct. But first off, I love that matchup. But I thought it was interesting that they landed at number 9. And we kind of had this conversation a little bit yesterday. And this is a quote from Mac Rhodes on the conference committee. He said, it came up when we talked about Oregon. When you look at them in the top 10, are lowest ranked in terms of record strength. And so the committee had a lot of conversations, rigorous debate and conversations about Oregon as a team. And I think there's a way that you can have your cake and eat it too in this. Oregon is a very, very, very good team. Mm-hmm. Oregon, to me, is a top 6, top 7 team in the nation. Oregon against Texas Tech, I'll take Oregon all day. Oregon against Ole Miss, well, now we start talking a little bit. You know, that's when I start to get a little wishy-washy. But Oregon is a very, very good team. But I think for all the things that I hate the College Football Playoff Selection Committee for, and I know there's a lot of listeners out there and you guys out there that are going to disagree with this, Oregon's strength of schedule is not great. It's just not.
It's their opponent's winning percentage is 47.2%.
It will be if they finish out the year strong. Their case will look great.
Okay, real quick. Let's say they went out. So that means they're gonna beat Minnesota, which whatever. But you're gonna beat Iowa and Washington on the road and USC at home.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best win?
I think the best win would be USC.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, and we talked about,
so your best win is going to be a home win.
It's going to be a home win against the top 5 offense in the nation. Mm-hmm. Maybe an after dark. I would love an after dark.
I don't,
and the,
I want to get home
and the, yeah, the, the strength of schedule, even at the end. Okay.
It's still going to be
3 teams in the bottom half of the
top
25.
Great. Good, not great.
And as they say in the SEC, I mean, Texas A&M deals with this right now. You can only play who's on your schedule.
Sure.
And I think a lot of the situation that makes it difficult is the Penn State win doesn't hold up anymore.
No.
And I am not somebody that thinks that's not a good win anymore. At the time, I 100% thought it was a great win.
Mm-hmm.
There's that word again, 100%. I thought that was a great win. Mm. And I actually don't live in the world that I think that's a bad win now. I think Oregon broke Penn State. I think after that, you are in a tailspin. You thought you should have won that game. You think you outplayed Oregon. You didn't, in my opinion. And you go on the road and you lay a stinker the next week. Then your quarterback goes down. Your coach gets fired and you're in complete disarray.
Sure.
But at that time, I still firmly believe Oregon's resume is solid. But the way they look at it, it's not. And I think that's okay. You're still a really, really good football team.
Yeah, and that's the thing is this Iowa game that I'm wondering about Oregon. Because so in their high-profile games, you played in an overtime game against Penn State, which if you want to give Penn State credit and say that they're good then, okay. And you went in and it was a, you know, the whiteout night game, all the national pomp and circumstance, and you kind of choked until you had Dante make a massive, massive play to Gary Bryant Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then Indiana comes into town and smacks you around. This Iowa game is going to give you the third game litmus test of like, okay, where do you fall in this?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. we have the Indiana game. We have the Penn State game. The other games are all like, man, maybe Wisconsin, what are we doing with that? And then the other games are against teams that nobody cares about.
Yeah.
So the Iowa game to me is going to be the, okay, where does that win and where does that loss kind of fall in? Because
yeah,
if they go in there and they handle Iowa, you're going, okay, that looks better.
It's fair to say that Iowa is in the middle of what Indiana and Penn State are right now.
Right.
Talent. There's talent on all three of those teams.
Identity, coaching, all those things.
Both sides of the ball, there's talent on all three of those teams. Mm-hmm. Where does Iowa lie? Do they lean closer to Penn State?
Mm-hmm.
Or do they lean closer to Indiana?
Mm-hmm.
And how does Oregon handle business? Back to the Indiana situation, which I think this might be where Oregon fans might have a little bit of a case against the College Football Playoff Committee, is Oregon has a chance to win that game in the final 6 minutes. Like, we talked about this after the game. Indiana was the better team.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to change my mind on that. I think I watched that game very vigorously. Indiana was the better team in all facets.
Mm-hmm.
But after that Mendoza pick six, I sat there and I said it on this show and I said it on my couch. oh my God, Oregon's going to sneak this out. And that's where if I'm an Oregon fan bitching and moaning about where they're seated in this, that's something I would bring up. Is, yeah, in the end, Indiana kind of punched you in the mouth and pulled away near in
the
end.
When you score one touchdown and have 64 yards of total offense in the second half, that is I don't care what the score says, the pick six be damned, you got handled.
But you were still in it. See what, that's why I mean cake and eat it,
yeah,
too.
I just look at that and I go, to your point, Indiana was very clearly the better team that day.
There was no
ifs, ands, or buts about that. The Penn State game, Oregon was the better team for most of the game.
Mm-hmm. They let them back in.
I mean,
Dan Lanning looked to Tosh Lapoy and was like, it's over.
Yeah.
We all saw that on TV. He looked at him and said, it's over, and did the over through his neck sort of thing.
Yeah, and...
And it was not.
No, it was
about
not.
About 10 minutes later.
And that's where kind of my... I was listening to Josh Payne on the way in this morning, and he kind of goes counter to the way I think about things. And it's not just with Oregon, it's just in general. His belief is some version of you crystallize the moment of when teams play. And you have to keep that in your head, and you can't really revisit that and adjust. And my whole thought process on that is you can consider what it was in that moment, but you should make adjustments. Like, we thought Florida State was really good to start the year.
New information creates new opinions.
Yeah, and like, you know, how they beat Alabama. For me now, it's a bad loss for Alabama. That's what that game is. That's a bad loss for Alabama, but that's their only loss. And the rest of their schedule, they have, you know, beaten Georgia. They've beaten four top 25 teams in a row in the SEC, all those things. Like, their schedule, like, it's a bad loss, but it's just that one loss.
Mm-hmm.
But we can say that Florida State isn't good, or as good as we thought they were. Like, we can make that adjustment. That's okay. I don't want to look like, well, you know, now, if you're talking about you lose to a team and then their quarterback breaks his leg, like,
sure,
if you're full Jordan Travis, like, who Florida State was in that year was not who they were later.
Yeah.
That's different.
And it sucks that they didn't get into the playoff, and Bama did, a very mediocre Alabama team,
yeah,
by Saban standards. Florida State deserved to get in, but that was the argument.
Yeah.
New information creates new opinions. Are they good without Travis? And it turns out bowl games are tough because they didn't get in the playoff and they were real pissy about it. And then nobody played,
yeah,
and they got rolled. But it's true. I love this comment on the YouTube. They being the committee, want Oregon to be able to play their way in and have a way of justifying putting them in if they do lose another game. And also the committee gave themselves an out for if they lose and they want someone else in. And I think that's a fair point. Because if Oregon does trip up in another game, then their resume is, okay, you lost to Iowa and you lost to Indiana, and your wins are lower 25 USC and UW. Does that give me enough? And maybe not. My only argument would be, then are you only going to put in one Big Ten team?
That's where it gets interesting.
Two Big Ten teams?
Because to me, the only potential for another team to do something here is, and I know I'm going to sound like a homer here, is USC.
Mm.
USC is going to be favored in every single game except for the Oregon game on November 22nd. Let's say Oregon wins out until the USC game. USC wins out until the Oregon game.
Game day.
And yes, it will be game day. Number two, what if USC wins that game and they both finish 10-2? What do you do with Oregon and USC?
I know, because USC by eyeball test is honestly going to look worse, because I think they're going to hammer Oregon for the loss instead of praise USC for the win. And so now you're only going to put in two Big Ten teams? Boy, they ain't going to like that.
No.
They ain't going to like that at all.
I would be stunned if that's the way it played out, that USC didn't make it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and they're basically...
But you would have two 10-2 teams, though. And you'd be like, well, this team beat this team, but lost to this team, but then beat this team. Like, you start, that's where all of a sudden you start looking at resume, and then you go, okay, who's the team that we put in the top of the bracket? Who's the team we put in the at large? And it could get real messy real quick. And like, again, I'm putting out, you know, possibilities that are unlikely. I'll fully say that. But
this is all going to play itself out and 100%. Change over the course of the year.
But by putting Oregon here, I think you hit the nail on the head. It gives them room.
Mm-hmm.
Not Oregon, the committee.
Mm-hmm.
It gives the committee to go, okay, no, they did it. We can bump them up. Or they don't, and either they're there or they get bumped to an at-large.
One little last note on this before we go to Tyson Alger. And I want to have a larger conversation about, you know, the bracket itself and the other teams that made it. But they're basically telling me by their rankings, that Oregon is on the same level as Texas Tech, which I'm fine with, and Notre Dame, which is a two-loss team. Mm-hmm. That's the interesting facet. Now, there's a lot of the, well, Notre Dame's a brand, and they got to get in, and the at-large, and blah, 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 and I get that. But I find that interesting because I think Oregon and Notre Dame on a neutral field, I'll take Oregon all day on that. I think Notre Dame's playing very good football right now. I'll take Oregon.
Sure.
And I think it's interesting that they're using the eyeball test, and their eyeballs say that Oregon's very good, but not that good.
I did find it interesting that two Big 12 teams in BYU and Tech were above Oregon.
Me too.
I was like,
me too.
Because I, when we talked yesterday, I thought Oregon would be up higher.
Me too. We'll get into some more of that in the big nooner, but we'll stick here with the Oregon Ducks as Tyson Alger from the I-5 corridor and Lookout Eugene Springfield will join us. We'll chat a little bit about how Oregon looks after the bye, and then we'll get it in the meat and potatoes of the Iowa game. We'll do that next, but first, Rusty with sports.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month, but I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven. Fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
All right, we are joined, as we always are, every Wednesday at 10:30, double Seggy time, with our good buddy Tyson Alger of the I-5 Corridor. Look out, Eugene Springfield. Tyson, thank you for stopping by, as always. How was your bye week?
You know, it was pretty good. You know, the Timbers hanging around have kind of made it a working bye week for me. But, you know, that was a pretty fun game at the park last week, so no complaints here.
And I was really worried for you, too, because I was at the San Diego game the end of the regular season, and I left in the 53rd minute. And I was like, this season's over. Adios. And somehow the cardiac kids are alive.
It was one of the more chaotic, 10 minutes that I've had as a sports fan / sports writer, because it was right as basically the Timbers were equalizing is when the World Series was going into extra innings too. So, that was stressful, but fun.
I was busy at the barn burner of Washington State at Oregon State, which was just gripping live action football.
it's a showcase.
Yes. Let's get into this. All right. Let's start with the bye, and then we'll get into Iowa. What have you noticed, if anything? And I know it's tough because Lanning kind of keeps a lot of stuff to the vest, and you know, it's just working on everything and all facets of the game. Is there anything you noticed this week that really was addressed? Something that stood out as maybe the number one cause of concern coming into the bye?
You know, nothing like specific. Like they're so close to the vest when it comes to like letting you know like how kind of they're doing on a day-to-day basis. But it is kind of fascinating just like the difference of this bye week and the momentum and kind of the overall conversation around the Ducks compared to the last one. I mean, the last time they had a bye, the Ducks were on top of the world. Dante Moore was going to win the Heisman. It was, you know, you start scheduling out for, well, we're probably going to have the bye for the playoff, and here we go. And now it's, you know, you had that Wisconsin game, which actually, like, kind of in retrospect, I'm softening on my initial stance on that game. I think, you know, the fact that you lost Dante for a half and that weather, and, you know, you held on for a win in a year where a lot of college football teams aren't doing that. I was okay with that. But, you know, coming into this Iowa game, I think everyone just is kind of focused, and I think they're also pretty aware of kind of what's coming. I mean, it's November. We had the college football playoff rankings come out last night, and it's a pretty easy carrot to dangle in front of a team's face when you have to go on the road, and this could be a game that really kind of decides your season. Because when you look at these playoff rankings, Oregon's not one of the more respected one-loss teams out there right now. So I would be very concerned about, you know, what a potential second loss would do to them. But this is a very, very good, and pretty unique Iowa team that's coming up this week. So it'll be interesting.
Tyson, you said something that kind of piqued my interest there. Do you feel like maybe there's a different mentality, or is there a different feeling around the team coming out of this bye week than what it was earlier in the season, and how things are shaping up for them now? And I don't want to say a tightness, but there's a different feel around things, knowing kind of where things sit as it stands today?
Yeah, like I think there's like a little more tension around things. I mean, again, you can go back to that last bye week. Oregon was an explosive offense back then, right? You know, it was just the Penn State game where we had seen, you know, them struggle a little bit, but they were able to come through and end up winning that one. But here we are 8-9 weeks into the season, and we're kind of right back to not knowing exactly what you're going to get week to week from the offense, and especially Dante Moore. I know obviously he missed the second half of that last game, but you know, we've seen him struggle with some of his consistency and reads against some of these better power four teams, especially ones with good defenses. And Iowa has a top 10 defense. They're going to be one of the toughest teams that Moore faces this year. So I think it's just, you know, I don't want to like use the term swagger, because it felt like they had quite a bit of it coming out of that Penn State game, and obviously that didn't really lead to much when going up against Indiana. But like I feel like there's just a little bit more uncertainty when you're going into these type of games, which, you know, might actually end up being fuel for them, just in the sense of this is a young team. It's a team that hasn't early in the season hadn't faced a lot of adversity and hadn't had to bounce back and hadn't had to go into a practice on a Sunday or Monday after you played a bad game and have to, you know, go through and fix your mistakes. So I think the focus is there. I just think that there's also a lot of questions still about this team, considering the waters that they're swimming in.
He's Tyson Alger of the I-5 Corridor, and look how Eugene Springfield joins us every Wednesday at 10:30 for two segments. Our wonderful producer, Jeff Russ, put some of these stats together. I want to make sure he gets some credit on this. Talking about Dan Lanning coming out of the bye.
And if they're wrong, I don't want credit.
Talking about Dan Lanning coming out of the bye, and it leads to an interesting question of, Is it a learning curve, or is it an over preparation, or is it just situational? 2022, his first year, they beat UCLA coming after the bye, but it's 45-30. That UCLA team wasn't very good, in my opinion, a little overhyped. In 2023, they lose at Washington after the bye. In 2024, a win over a bad UCLA team and beat Washington after a bye. Lose to Indiana this year after a bye. Is it situational, or is there any stock you might put into Dan maybe pushing the guys too hard in a bye to get themselves back ready?
I think it's more situational. I mean, the bye kind of gives you an easy jumping off point. And, you know, I'm sure I'll have to go back and look at like what the other team schedules were leading up to when they played Oregon coming off the bye. But, you know, there have been some other instances where the opposing team has been coming off a bye as well. So there's, you know, kind of that factor of the other team having extra time to prepare as well. But I just, you know, I think it's situational. You know, you look at some of those games and some of those performances, they came against pretty good teams. And, you know, as we just saw in their rankings for this one, Indiana's a pretty good football team too, with that being Oregon's lone loss of the season. So I don't think there's any like risk of like over coaching or over preparing or over training for one game, especially with like the bye for this one. I think they were very conscientious about where they're at in the season and getting rest and making sure guys are healthy. So I think it's kind of more situational and a bit of a crapshoot, if you will.
All right, we'll take a quick little break. When we come back, let's dive into this Iowa game. Nasty weather, nasty uglies on the D-line and the O-line, how this game plays out. Tyson Alger's our guest. He'll stick with us one more time. We're talking Oregon, Iowa on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan. All right, we are joined here again by our good friend Tyson Alger, the I-5 Corridor Lookout, Eugene, Springfield. We're talking Oregon Ducks coming out of the bye. They'll take on Iowa this weekend. In the great state of Iowa in the Midwest, where there's just the most wonderful people in America, you can catch all that action right here on your home of the Ducks, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Tyson, let's dive into this game. I think I asked the question maybe a week ago before we got through the bye week of, is this a trap game? And boy, do I feel kind of stupid, because this feels way more than a trap game, doesn't it?
You have all the sirens going type of game, all the warning lights. I was a very good football team. They're a very weird football team too, because if you go back and look through, you know, some of their results from the last couple months, like they've been scoring a lot of points. You know, they went 41-3 over Minnesota, 37-0 over Wisconsin. They put 38 points up against Rutgers, and then you kind of start to look through their stats and you're like, man, like did Iowa change things up? Are they all of a sudden, you know, just throwing the football and running full tilt offense? And no, they have 5 touchdown passes this year. Their entire team has as many touchdown receptions as Kenyon Sadiq does this season. So this is an Iowa team that's still just going to kind of like pound you out on the ground. Their quarterback, Mark Gronowski, he's a tank. Like he's 6'3", he's like 240, but he's not that great with their passing attack, but he does have 10 rushing touchdowns. It's a very advantageous defense. It's a fantastic special teams. So yeah, like this is a pretty classic game of, two good teams facing each other. And I'm glad Iowa has kind of gotten a little bit of the shine they deserve the last couple of weeks, cracking back into the top 25. They're in the AP and in the college football playoff rankings. So this is an important one for the Ducks, who don't really have a lot of signature wins on their resume, and season's getting old quick. So this is a big one for them.
Tyson, that's something kind of Harris and I were talking about before you hopped on. Indiana in the loss and Penn State in the win. This feels like it could be like a middle of the road spot for a measuring stick for Oregon kind of going forward. And we kind of went down some permutations that could happen for Oregon. If Oregon runs the table, they should be fine. They should be in. But let's say they trip up either against Iowa or against USC. Where do you kind of look at the measuring stick of, and you can only play who's in front of you, but how do you start to measure this season out for Oregon if there is a trip up in kind of one of those two games that are the two biggest games that they've got left on the schedule?
Yeah, man, it's tough because, you know, let's say they lose one of those two games. You would think that the Iowa one would be more acceptable because it's on the road. It doesn't look like it's going to be great weather conditions. This is a tough team they're playing. But at the same time, too, if they were to win this one, which would be an amazing feather in their cap, it would be their best win to date of the season. Turns out Iowa is significantly better than Penn State. I just don't like how that, like, another home loss would look for them if they happen to lose to USC in that instance. I think that this is a tricky game this week because this would be their best possible loss to have if they're going to have two losses, but also this is their best chance of really just saying we can beat good teams. Like, we can compete with, like, the best in the country. And, you know, I don't think Iowa is necessarily close to the level that, like, an Ohio State or maybe an Indiana is, but they're, like, a very strong B-plus level team. And right now, Oregon just has a bunch of wins over, like, C's and D's. So, yeah, they're, like, this is pivotal because everyone else that's kind of in that contention gets to play Oregon, right, over the next coming weeks. You know, Washington seems like an outlier still, but, like, they got an outside chance. They're going to want to try to knock Oregon off. USC is going to want to knock Oregon off. Like, all these teams have to jump Oregon if they want to make the playoffs. So it's going to be quite the gauntlet here for the next month.
Let's get into this game, all right? You mentioned the weather could be a little shoddy, maybe not Wisconsin weather. I was talking to the sideline reporter, Dusty Hera, here at the Fan, and he was saying that the rain shouldn't be as terrible as Wisconsin, but it should play a factor, which just leads me to the big uglies in the trenches. Is this more of a game? Do we need the offensive line for Oregon to really step up, or can you just rely on that D-line to do what it's done all season?
I think you kind of need both of them. I didn't like the way the line played at all against Wisconsin. I think you saw some just straight up missed blocks, especially from the tackles. It's kind of a feast or famine for them. You know, it was, I don't think Dante Moore had been sacked up until that Indiana game, and then he was brought down six times. And then it seems like they recouped and fixed everything. And then Moore was brought down twice in, like, the first two series against that Wisconsin game. So they need to get some consistency there. They need to be better at just establishing themselves early in the games. I mean, take a look at, like, the last month of football and at Oregon's first drives of the games, and they've gone barely anywhere. I mean, I think I said this the last time I came on, but when they played Wisconsin 2 weeks ago and they had that onside kick to start the game, like, you thought that this was the start of the Ducks, like, blowing up the score, and instead it just turned out to be just another dud drive in a game with a lot of them. So I think establishing themselves early, I think they're going to play relatively conservative considering the elements and also just considering they don't want to turn the football over too much against Iowa. Iowa's a team that I forget, I don't have the number right in front of me, but they have an incredible record when they score 21 points or more. They have a pretty incredible record when they score first in games as well. So this is a game where you want Oregon to go on the road. You want to see that they're comfortable, and you just want to see some consistency from the start, because that's what's been the thorn in Oregon's side so far this season, is they don't get out to a good start. And I don't think they're a great team from playing, or I don't think they're great at playing from behind.
That kind of dovetails perfectly into, I ask you some version of this question every time, because I think it presents it in an interesting fashion. If you're Oregon and you're trying to win the game, but how do they lose this game? Because, as you said, they aren't great if they can't play exactly the way that they want to play. And the way that Iowa plays football is nobody wants to play that way. So how does Oregon avoid that?
The biggest thing is going to be taking care of the football, to be honest. This is an Iowa team that if they get a 7-point lead, if they get a 3-point lead, if they get a 10-point lead, they're going to try to sit on it for four quarters. They're going to try to milk the clock out of the game. They're going to try to limit Oregon's possessions, and they're going to try to force the Ducks into playing kind of a stressful type of football where Dante is going to have to throw the ball more, and that's going to allow them to key in on the offensive line and dial up some blitzes and force turnovers. And that's kind of the recipe for how Iowa has success, is they force turnovers, they capitalize, and if they make you punt, they can score on that too. So going back to what we just talked about, I think the biggest key for Oregon is just that offensive line and giving Dante time and allowing him to get into a rhythm. Like, we've seen how good he can be when he's comfortable and when he gets into a rhythm and he has that confidence. And it also seems like it's pretty easy in games where he doesn't have that protection for him to lose that confidence pretty quickly too. I don't know if he starts having like flashbacks to his time at UCLA when he was just under fire every play with the Bruins during those six games. But yeah, I think this is a big show me game for him because this is probably the toughest environment that he's going to face the rest of the season until you get into the playoffs, if they make the playoffs. And he's talented enough to be an X factor for them, but he's also talented enough that if he doesn't have it, this could be a really tough game for the Ducks.
Yeah, I think Dante is a fascinating situation in this game because I don't think you go into this game expecting the world from him, but he's got to play better than he has the last couple weeks, and that's the question I want to ask you. Do you see them coming out offensively at the beginning of this game, similar to kind of how they did at Indiana, a little conservative, kind of feeling each other out, or do you want to see Stein and Lanning and Dante maybe take a shot early on and see if they can break them early?
I wouldn't mind seeing them take a shot early on just to see if that, like, that's in play. You know, ultimately, like, Oregon does have more talent across the field than Iowa does, and sometimes talent can just simply win out. And so, yeah, it would be great if they came out first drive and were able to connect with, like, a Sadiq or a DeCorian Moore for an explosive play there. But I also just think, like, continuing to feed Jordan Davidson the ball is going to be huge in this game. You know, we talked about the offensive line. They've been pretty good in run protection and run blocking. And I loved the fact that they gave Davidson like 16 carries last game. He got 100 yards again. Like he's just kind of like built to be a Big Ten running back with his size and his vision and his speed for how big he is too. So I loved that in the second half of that Wisconsin game. They were just like, okay, like we're pretty good at this. Like, let's keep doing this. I wouldn't mind seeing that carry over a little bit into this game.
Hi, he's Tyson Alger, the I-5 Corridor Lookout, Eugene Springfield. What you got on the docket this week? Pump the brand.
Well, we had a little men's basketball game last night. Which
sure
was,
did. A little tricky in the end.
Yeah, you know, just your quintessential 21 turnover, 1-point win over Hawaii, where you had, I think, 5 malfunctions of the clock to start the game, and then essentially a buzzer beater at the end. You know, it was so we're going to be diving a little bit into what we learned from Dana Altman's Ducks in game one. And then got a little Timbers coming up on Sunday. So that will be on the corridor. The basketball will be over at Lookout. And of course, I'll be with you guys next Wednesday. So
yeah, baby. Timbers got a chance this week. I mean, I guess it's a do or die game, right?
I mean, look, a couple weeks ago, you guys were the ones who were like Felipe Mora, and then Felipe Mora comes out and scores his first 2 goals in God knows how long.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
At this point, like, who knows? I mean, like, basically the last game and like for part of the first game against San Diego before Ford got kicked out, like the Timbers were playing them pretty darn close. So you guys know that I'm a lifelong soccer fan. I know the trends. I know the momentum of these series. And I think it's a 50-50 game. And there's a chance that they make it to the knockout round. So
he is Tyson Alger of the I-5 Corridor. And look how Eugene Springfield will catch you again next week. Enjoy the big games, plural, this weekend, Tyson. We'll catch you next week.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
That is Tyson Alger, the I-5 Corridor. Look at Eugene Springfield joins us every single Wednesday. We're way over it. So when we come back, we'll kind of react to some stuff Tyson had to say. We'll dive into this game, a little more Oregon Ducks for you, and then we'll get into some other fun stuff. We got some hoops to talk about and web gems as well. Loaded hour number deuce on 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.